There are ways of studying a word. I thought tonight we would look at the word repent. And the first thing you would want to do, I realize there's topics. A topical Bible is a tremendous help. You look up a topic: trust, faith, love, hope, brotherly kindness, hatred, all that. You can look up topics, and there's no words of man in there. It's just the Bible verses are arranged by topic. And it's a tremendous help, a Knave's Topical Bible, and you've heard me talk about that. Tonight, what I will reference the most is probably a concordance. And if you talk with anybody that studies their Bible, if there's anything you can use outside of your Bible that is probably a help, it is a concordance. Which does what? It shows you how many times that a certain word is found in your Bible, where it's found, and how it's used, and all that stuff. That's a concordance. The only reason I'm going to use the Greek tonight is this is a carryover. I told you I did not use the Greek to study my Bible because there is no good, reliable source. In this case, there is no good source to study Greek from, is what I'm trying to tell you. They're all tainted. I did not say that everything that deals with Greek and Hebrew is corrupt. But on all those study tools, they change the words to match the new versions. In this case tonight, what I'm going to give you, it supports what you'll find in the English. We'll get into it. And the first thing I would do, if I was looking up a word in the Bible, I would use a dictionary. I use an Oxford English Dictionary. I use the 20-volume set. I have it on my computer. It was $250. But if you bought a 20-volume set, the authority of the English language, it would cost you $4,000. I don't have that kind of money. I use the computer thing, which is the identical deal, and I look it up on the authority. When I'm reading my English Bible, glory to God, I look up the in the authority of the English language, which is Oxford. If you have a Webster's 1828, that's free on the internet. That's I also have that program. It's free in eSword and things like that. It's free if you buy the book, it's $65 or whatever. So I looked it up in the dictionary. If I was studying this word, you could study other words just like we're studying repent tonight, but I would look up the definition. Before we read this, if I asked you, don't read the paper, but what is your definition of repent? What does repent mean? Not repent of your sins. What does the word repent mean? Here's what most people would say. It means to be sorry for. It means to turn from your sin. It means to, and we've been told that, but when you look up the definition of the word, watch what happens. Reason is we'll get into this, look at the English dictionary definition of the word repent. It means, I copied and pasted it, to feel contrition, compunction, sorrow, or regret for something one has done, or left undone. The next part of the verse, of the definition, says to change one's mind with regard to past action or conduct through dissatisfaction with it or its results. The second part of the definition is more matching what your Bible will teach you as far as when you study it. I'm going to show you how I don't think it means the first part of it. When we were street preaching up in Chicago, one of the guys got up and, you know, we would preach for 5 minutes and the rest of us would pass out tracts. And that was at State and Rush, and it was the busiest intersection in Chicago. And they said 10,000 people an hour would go by there. So we'd get up, you know, and we'd preach. And one guy got up and he said, "Repent! Repent!" And man, he screamed that, "Repent of your sin! Repent!" And he did that for 5 minutes. Needless to say, he needed a little more content in his message, okay? And the man that was overseeing the ministry said, if you're going to tell people to repent, he said, most people don't know what the word repent means. He said, next time you preach on repentance, he said, tell the people what the word repent means. And the word repent comes from the Greek word metanoia. Meta means to change. Noia means dealing with the mind. Okay, an example I put on there is paranoia. If you're paranoid, it means alongside of, it can also mean abnormal. If you're paranoid, you're abnormally minded. Okay, no problem. That's an example of the Greek word metanoia. It is not the word metamorphosis or metamorpho, which means to change form or to change a state. It does not mean that. That is a different Greek word. But the Greek word for repent is metanoia. You say, why are you doing this? Watch this. The word repent, by definition, means to change your mind. It means to change your mind. It does not mean any more than that. I've heard preachers get up and preach this. If you want to be saved, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from all your sins. And there's only two people that preach that way: evangelists and pastors that don't like going soul winning. Because eventually they bash soul winning. But I've heard preachers get up and say, unless you've repented of your sins, you're not saved. And man, it pops the crowd and everybody goes, yeah, well, you do have to repent to be saved. But repentance does not mean, it has never meant turn from your sin. Let me just take the phrase of the preaching for a second. When somebody gets up, and I've heard preachers preach that way, and I don't amen when they do it either. But they'll get up and they'll say, unless you've turned from your sin, stop. What sin? How many of the sins do you have to turn from? When I got saved, the first thing God convicted me of was my mouth. Did I still have a tobacco problem and an alcohol problem? Yes. But that God wasn't convicting me. God said, fix your filthy mouth. But when the evangelist is saying, you got to repent of your sins, they're saying you got to turn from all your sins. And I believe it is a false teaching. I believe it lends to a lordship salvation, works type salvation preaching. Where is growth in grace? You mean when you get saved, you turn from all your sins and you stop sinning? There's no growth in grace. So tonight, I wanted us as a soul winning church to take one word, look at it. What is the definition of the word repent? Last night when I led Justina to Christ, Brother Dorsey was with me. I used the word repent. You know what I did before I started showing her how to get saved? I said, what do you think you got to do to get saved? She gave me a whole list. Read the Bible. Do good deeds. I made the list right in front of her. We set that aside. I showed her how to go to heaven. I said, repent means when you change your mind that these things here can't save you and Jesus Christ can. I said, who is it that reads their Bible? You or God? I do. I said, who is it that does good deeds? You or God? I do. I said, who is it that does these things? I said, so who are you trusting in, you or God? Me. I said, getting saved is when you stop trusting yourself and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus who died for you. You understand? I said, that is repentance. And I said, and you must repent, change your mind about what you, which lead, I said it Sunday night, repent means to change your mind, which will lead to a change in belief. It does not necessarily mean a change in action. R.A. Torrey, I'm not an R.A. Torrey fan. He's Protestant. He wasn't Baptist. He worked with D.L. Moody. R.A. Torrey said in his preaching, he preached all over the world, he'd say, unless you've had a change in your character when you got saved, you didn't get saved. Stop. Character does not come with salvation. A desire to do right does, but sometimes, let's take the idea of smoking. You take somebody that smoked for years. Well, if you get saved, you just come down here and lay them cigarettes on the altar. I've watched people weep and cry because they were struggling with that. I mean, it was an addiction. And they wanted to give it up, but the habit was there and the body cravings and all that. It took a while. They just didn't instantly give it up because they got saved. Now, I think you need to be careful about that. But repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of belief. It will lead to a change of belief. Don't take it any further past that. Now, watch this. When studying your Bible, check to see how many times the word is used and how many forms of the word there are, like the word repent. Okay, if you're looking at your study sheet, it's found 46 times in your Bible. It's found 24 times in the New Testament. The word repented is found 32 times, 15 times in the New Testament, and the word repentance is found 26 times in the whole Bible, 25 times in the New Testament. So it's only found one time in the Old Testament. No problem, but if I was studying a word, I would first of all look up the definition of that word. Then I would use a concordance, and I would say, where is this word found? How does God use it in the Bible? Okay? That's why a concordance is wonderful. It's a wonderful tool. Are you ready? Here's the next thing. I'm using the word repent, but I'm going to show you how to study this way. Have you ever heard the law of first mention? The law of first mention is, where is that word used the first time in the Bible? The first time. You can use this with love, mercy, grace, priest, salvation, all of this. You can, heaven, the law of first mention. How does God use it the first time in your Bible is very important. In this case, in the word repentance, let's all go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Ready? Genesis chapter 6. I don't know that this is going to be a super dynamic Bible study, but I do know this. I got a phone call from a pastor about last year sometime. Actually, it was early this year. And he was knocking. Their church doesn't go soul winning. Now, they don't say that, but nobody goes soul winning at their church. I said, no, we're a soul winning church. He said, well, I don't believe in this easy believism stuff. We need to be telling people they need to repent and everything. I said, I tell people to repent every time I go soul winning. I said, how do you define it? We got a bunch of false Christians in churches nowadays because they're not repenting and stuff like that, a bunch of easy believism. Can I tell you something? I put on your paper, easy believism is sloppy soul winning. But I have every person I deal with about Christ, and if you get to go with me soul winning, I'd love to go with you. I've been with several of the men in the church. I'm as thorough as I know how to be. I've always been taught, you deal with a little child as if you want your child dealt with. Just like they're yours. You be as thorough as you can. But easy believism, I'll get into that later, but watch this. Here's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Let's look at the law of first mention. Where is the word repent used for the first time? Genesis 5, 6, 5, and 7. Okay? Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So, there, God uses the word repent. God's the first one to repent in the Bible. If you make the definition of the word repent, turn from your sin. Folks, everybody knows we serve a sinless God. Whatever word definition you give the word repent, you want to be able to use from cover to cover. And if the word repent means turn from your sin, you got a problem. It does not mean turn from sin. Did God change his mind on that it was good that man was created? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You say, well, preacher, here God's grieved. God looks like he's sad and he is disturbed and frustrated and sorrowful, if you will. Yes, it is. Well, then I think, here we go, follow my thinking here just for a second. When I read Genesis 6 and the law of first mention, I find that God is sorrowed and regretful and God's sad that he... So repentance must include sadness. Now let's go to another place. Ready? And I'm going to show you, I don't think that it includes that. Look at Jonah. Can you go to Jonah chapter 3? Jonah chapter 3. Jonah, I know that's in the part of the Bible that everybody hopes the Bible study is not in, okay? And that the sword drill is not in, all right? Please don't go to the minor prophets, but Jonah, all right? Obadiah, Jonah, okay? Jonah, if you see Micah, you've gone too far. Jonah chapter 3. And if you see Matthew, you've gone too far, okay? Watch this. So in Genesis, it looks like repentance includes sorrow. But wait a second, when you look at Jonah chapter 3, Jonah 3, look at verse number 9 and watch this. Jonah 3, verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Watch this, verse 10, Jonah 3:10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. My Bible says God doesn't like to punish. God has Ezekiel 33:11. God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't get his jollies out of throwing people into hell. God does not enjoy judgment. Wait a second. God was going to destroy Nineveh. Jonah preaches. Then God repents and says, okay, they got right. Greatest revival in the Bible. I won't destroy them. Do you think God's happy here when he repented? I do. So the first time God repents in the Bible, yes, sorrow, grief, regret, I wish I hadn't made man, their thoughts are only evil continually. You say, well, repentance includes sorrow. Wait a second. This time when God repents, there is no sorrow. No, repentance does not include sorrow. Sorrow could accompany repentance just like joy can accompany repentance. But repentance means to change your mind. You see how I'm using the Bible now? I'm using context and I'm looking, not just looking at one. I want to start at the law of first mention, then I'm going to go through the Bible. Let's look at here did you know that, go to Romans chapter 10. Did you know there's two phrases found in the Bible that we say a lot that are not, excuse me, there are two phrases that are not found in the Bible, but we say them a lot. One is, repent of your sins. You will never find that phrase in your Bible anywhere. You will not find that anywhere. Second phrase that we use a lot that is not found anywhere in the Bible is, get right with God! Did you know get right with God is not found anywhere in your Bible? Now, we know what they mean. We know what the preacher's saying when he preaches that. But that's not found anywhere in your Bible. So be careful. Be careful. Watch this. Genesis chapter 10. They always say this when they're preaching. Bless God. Genesis 10 verse 3 is before, long before Genesis 10:13. What are they talking about? Watch, look at Genesis 10 verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And these people that are saying repentance means to turn from your sin and you need to stop sinning, they'll say, Romans 10 verse 3, you got to submit to God. You got to submit, then you call upon His name. Wait a second. If I submit to the righteousness of God, it's just what I showed Justina last night. You submit to God's righteousness, not yours. You change your mind and you can't be good enough to get to heaven. Jesus is the righteousness that you need for salvation. That is a changing of your mind and repentance. There, did you know, as we look at the word repent, it means to change your mind. Did you know there's two things in the Bible God says He will not change His mind about? You're in Romans 10, go to Romans chapter 11. I think you'll find these very precious. Look at Romans 11, just look over at the next chapter. Romans 11, and look at verse 29. I put them there in your outline. Romans 11, verse 29. Ready? Watch this. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Isn't that beautiful? That means when God saved you, and when God gave you gifts for the profiting of the local body, the church, God said, I knew about all about your problems when I saved you. I knew all about your shortcomings, and I still saved you, and I'm still not sorry I did. And God says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God said, I will never change my mind about what I gave you at salvation. Never. You say, well, they're not living right. They're not. God says, there's two things I won't change my mind about. One is the gifts and calling of God. I'll never change my mind. Never. A man that's called to preach, God never changes his mind about it. Now, he can invalidate himself, but God never says, that's it, I'm changing my mind. I'm not calling you anymore, or I'm not giving you that gift. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? There's two things. Ready? Watch this. Now take your Bible. You're in Romans. Go over two books to 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Ready? Watch this. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. God says, when I saved you, I never wish I wouldn't have saved you. I never change my mind. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So there's two things in the Bible God says I will not repent of. One is your gifts and calling. Two is your salvation. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? If you make repent or repentance mean anything other than a change of mind, these verses all of a sudden don't make sense. It's like, and let me say it again. Whatever definition you give the word repent, it needs to go from Genesis all the way through your Bible. You say, well, it fits right there. I know, but does it fit everywhere in your Bible? Does it fit everywhere? That's a good way. Next, here we go. When studying your Bible, use the context. And I know that's what I'm trying to show you now. And I put 1 Corinthians 2:14 that says we compare spiritual things with spiritual. Go ahead and go to some of these verses that I've seen used, I think, in a rough way. Ezekiel 14:6. Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Look at Ezekiel 14:6. Ezekiel 14 and verse 6. Ezekiel 14. We're just going to look at two of these. Repentance and turning from sin are two different things. They are not the same thing. I watched somebody turn to Ezekiel 14, verse number 6. Let's read it. Ezekiel 14, verse 6. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, comma, and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. So somebody said, see, the word repent means to turn from your sin. And I said, it says repent, comma, and do you know what a conjunction is? And, you know, a conjunction joins. You know what a conjunction does in a sentence? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Remember that old great hymn of the faith. A conjunction, that means repent and turn from your idols. That's two different things. He is saying, repent, change your mind, change what you believe, and change what you've been doing. But you're not going to turn from your idols until you repent. You understand? It's two separate things. But I watch somebody turn to that verse and they say, see, the word repent means turn from your sin. I said, no, it does not. It says repent, comma, and turn from your idols. No, repent does not mean turn from your sin. Let's look at one more place. One more place, and I'll let you kind of take it on your own. Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent, comma, and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. There it is again. Repentance and turning from sin are two different things. We could go to verse after verse after verse. I've just taken you to a few places when I'm studying my Bible. I like what one person said. Some of you only believe what you believe because someone told you. That's good, but it would help sometime if you took what you believe on one subject. Don't not believe it. Set it aside. Study your Bible and see what God... For instance, let me give you an object. The blood of Christ. Some of you believe the blood of Christ cleanses from sin and we trust it to get saved. Glory to God, because somebody told you. But if you just put that aside and used your Bible and studied the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus. It's the blood make an atonement for the soul. And you went through your Bible and you looked at the blood. You'd come to that conclusion. It would just be wonderful if God's Word taught it to you instead of somebody else telling you what the Bible says. Amen? That's the benefits of Bible study. That's the benefits. You can talk to the, and I know I'm talking to several people in here that they study their Bible. But what is sad is when a Christian is just goes to church year after year and they believe right things, but they believe it because somebody told them that's what the Bible said, but they've never seen it because they don't study. This is the same issue. The word repent, all I'm doing is taking you on a journey, a small one. You could spend hours in this on your own, okay? But the word repent means to change your mind. Let's look at, we're supposed to, I put in your outline here, you can follow this just for a minute. We'll get to the Bible here in just a second. Mark chapter 6:12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. John the Baptist preached repentance. In Mark 1:15, he said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." The Apostle Paul preached repentance in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Acts chapter 26, verse 20, is that there in your printout? Is that verse there? Watch this. I emphasize some words here. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should," what? "Repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance." Stop. When you read the last section of that, see, God, John Baptist said, told the Pharisees, "Do works meet for repentance." The word "meet" means fitting or showing. When it says "do works meet fitting for repentance" at the end of Acts 26, verse 20, is it saying you should do works meet for repentance to show that you repented, or works to show that God should repent? What does it take to save you from the wrath of hell? You need to get saved, right? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. I think that verse is teaching this. He's saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so God can repent. You realize they're condemned already? You know, everybody who's not trusted Jesus as their Savior, God says the gavel has already been sent home. They've already been sentenced to hell. When they get saved, God, when they repent and trust Christ, God repents and doesn't send them to the hell that He sentenced them to, right? So God says, bring forth works meet for repentance. Who's doing the repenting here? Them or God? They were told to repent and turn to God, right? And then, I believe that last part says, do works meet for repentance. Whose repentance? God's repentance. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, God said, okay, you've trusted my Son as your Savior and His blood to take you to heaven, and you've accepted His sacrifice. I now repent of sending you to hell, and now I'll take you to heaven to live with me forever. You understand? So here we go. Let's keep on going. I don't know if I'm not trying to preach heresy. I'm just trying to, I think in a soul-winning church, I think in a church like we are, you ought to understand the word repentance. And normally when I've taught this a couple years ago and somebody said it really helped, but watch this. Here we go. When we preach publicly, now I think I'm on the back side of that page. When we preach publicly or privately, we're saying your thinking is wrong. You think you can get to heaven by your good works and deeds. You need to see the truth in God's Word and change your mind. Saving repentance is you changing your mind that works cannot save you or even help you get saved, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. When you stop trusting Christ, when you stop trusting your good works and trust Jesus instead, that is when you get saved. Everybody, there's a phrase on there right underneath that. Do you see where it says repentance is not what saves? Believing on Christ is what saves. Now, if I repent, that's going to change my belief, and I'm going to change trusting my works to Christ, and yes, that's going to save me, but repentance is something I do, then I believe on Christ. Then I believe on Christ. And I don't think I'm making a mountain out of a molehill here, all right? I think it's important to understand, repentance doesn't save you. Faith and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what saves you. That is what saves you, but yes, is repentance involved? I would agree with that. Ready? Can you think with me just for a second? I put this down because I want you to think about it. Repentance is not found in any of its forms in the book of John. You say, why is that important? Everybody, there's two books in your Bible that were, God says He penned them for people to get saved. In the book of John 20, I put the verses down. You can look up chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many things did Jesus, and the world couldn't contain the books that could be written about what Jesus did. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing ye might have life through His name. John 20, verse 30 and 31, specifically say the book of John was written to show you how to get saved. And the word repent is not found one time in the whole book of John. That's interesting. That's interesting. You would think if God wrote the book of John and the book of Romans, now it is found in the book of Romans, but the book of John is written to show you how to get saved, and the word repent isn't found anywhere. That's important. That's important. Here we go. Watch this. Now take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see this. I think this is so important. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. I'm watching the time. We're almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 24. I'm just trying to give you food to think about. I know there's a lot of different preaching out there. There's some people that say unless you believe repentance means to turn from your sin. I've heard people say if you believe repentance means to change your mind, you're a heretic. And I disagree with that. I think it goes the other way. If you think it means turn from your sin and to be sorry for your sin, and if you haven't done that, you're not saved, I think you confuse salvation. And there is a crowd out there that teaches that. Okay? And no, I don't think it's all equal. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Ready? Watch this. Let me show you something. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Look at this. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. When you show somebody the Bible and they accept it as truth and they change their mind, that's God doing a work in their heart. That's why I can. That's why one of the people that was talking about, you know, repentance means turn from your sin, and if you haven't done that, you're not saved. And I said, me talking about repentance doesn't make you repent. Me talking about repentance and teaching you it means to change your mind does not make you change your mind. Repentance is an act of the Holy Ghost on the heart, just like seeing salvation. There's a big difference between me showing somebody the Bible and them agreeing with me. You can agree with me and not get saved. You can agree because my presentation is logical. We're all sinners. We deserve to go to hell. Jesus died for you, and if you'll put your trust in Him, you can go to heaven. Do you agree with that? Well, yes, I agree. Well, that doesn't mean they got saved. They get saved when God convicts them. Do you understand? Repentance and their changing of the mind, which leads to a change of belief, God says is done by the Holy Ghost. God does it. That's why I said, when you start taking the work of God, how God convicts and how God moves and how God works in your heart, I said, it's different for everybody in here. Everybody, when I got saved, I didn't have a soul winner. I was reading my Bible, Matthew to Revelation, and when I got done, I was so convicted, there wasn't a soul winner around. I wasn't hearing preaching, I'd heard the gospel. But if I thought you got to get saved like I got saved, I wouldn't go soul winning. You know why I go soul winning? Because God tells us to go soul winning. But if I thought everybody in here was supposed to get saved like I got saved, I wouldn't go soul winning. Because I didn't have a soul winner. You know what I'd do? If I thought you had to get saved like me, I'd say, here, read this. And if God wants to save you, then God will convict you. Well, that's goofy. God tells us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been told to go soul winning. That's why I go soul winning. But did God deal with me in a powerful way when I got saved? He convicted me. Oh my goodness, I'd never seen myself so damned and on my way to hell. Does God deal with everybody the same way? No. Does God convict you when you get saved? Yes. Does God deal with you the same way He deals with somebody else? You better be real careful. I've heard people say, well, when I got saved, I gave up all my sin. And if you haven't given up your sin, you're not saved. How do you grow in the Lord, for crying out loud? And I can't make anybody repent. Your Bible says, my Bible says, repentance is given by God. And that changing of the mind, you can acknowledge facts. But repentance, a changing of the mind, is a work of the Holy Ghost of God. And it's hands off. You know what I believe about salvation? No conviction, no conversion. I've dealt with people, they weren't convicted at all. They honestly didn't care about the Bible. Well, don't you realize you're going to die someday? You know you're going to get up tomorrow? I mean, I tried everything. You got a guarantee you're going to get up tomorrow morning and go? Well, who cares? And I said, well, hey, you're going to die someday. I tried to get their attention. No attention. They were pushing it away. No, they weren't convicted. I tried to give them the gospel. I wasn't going to stand there and preach. God says, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, no. They don't want to hear it. God, that's not the one God's working on. I honestly believe if God is not working, if there's no conviction, there is no conversion. Now, I've led people to Christ that smiled and were happy and laughing when they got saved. I've led people to Christ that were about as plain. Well, where's the Bible say you're going to go now when you die? Heaven. Isn't that good news? That's wonderful news. You know what I mean? And they're saying, I'm singing zippity-doo-dah out of my ears at this time, and I will go to sleep humming tonight zippity-doo-dah. Okay. Then I've led people to Christ that were crying. All different types of emotion. I don't judge whether somebody got saved or not, whether they cried when they got saved. I'll make a statement in Sunday school this Sunday. I don't know whether you're saved or not. The only person who I know is saved is me. And the only person who you know is saved is you. You don't know if somebody else is saved or not. Easy believism, I told you, is sloppy soul winning. Salvation is supposed to be easy enough for a child to understand, and I gave you verses on that. Jesus said in Matthew, it has to be easy enough for a child to understand. An adult is supposed to become like a child. A child does not have to become like an adult. Jesus taught that. Jesus said, and I put the verse down for you in in 2 Corinthians 11:3, there is a simplicity in Christ. I would hate to be guilty. I've never preached, I've never practiced easy believism. But I'd hate to be guilty of making it hard to get saved. I know I don't preach hard believism. If you want to get saved, you better give up all your sin and do. I want to keep salvation what Jesus said it is, free and simple. And easy enough for a child to understand. But who gets saved and who doesn't? No. Do they need to repent? Yeah, I think repentance is important. I don't think you can get saved without repenting. Do you understand? If you're raised Catholic and you think you got to go through catechism and sacraments and all that and get confirmed, no, you got to change your mind. But how do they change their mind when they see the truth in the Bible? Same thing as a sinner that's not a Catholic. No, repentance is important. But repentance isn't what saves you. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves you. Let's just look at a few more things here. When preaching to crowds, Bible preachers would tell crowds to repent. But here's a good question. What individual in the Bible was told to repent? If you did your own study on it, there's no individual. Repentance is normally used when the preacher's preaching to crowds. In most of the cases, the term is used, it's preaching to people who are backslidden. In some cases, the people need to get saved. But sometimes it's not even talking to people that need to get saved. It's talking to people that need to get right. They need to change their mind about their sin, that it's awful and God hates it, and they need to change. But what individual when was told, repent? You search your Bible. You won't find individuals. You'll see crowds. You understand? Why am I doing this? Because I want you to understand what the word repent means. I'm trying to give you food for thought. And I was hoping in looking at the word repent, you could see how one way of studying the Bible is look up the definition. Look how many times it's used. Look where God uses it. Look at the law of first mention. Use the context of the verses. That's a Bible study. I just took it, condensed it, put it in about a 35-minute section, And hopefully you could take that thing and say, you know what? Okay, I understand repentance. I'd like to study this in the Bible. And then you study it for yourself. I gave you an idea tonight, the blood of Christ. Look up the blood in your Bible. I love taking a new Bible and taking a coloring pencil and with the word, a red coloring pencil, and everywhere the word blood is mentioned, I like coloring it red. Because we got a bloody book. Amen? We got a wonderful bloody book. And I praise God for the blood. And I love seeing that in my Bible. Tonight, I wanted to show you, let me give you one more thought about this, and then I'll let you study out on your own. Did you know we're supposed to repent or change our mind every time we read the Bible? Did you know you can repent, change your mind, and be saved in the area of salvation, and still run with the wrong crowd, and you need to repent in that area without repenting over here? Did you know I know some people that are... they've repented, they've trusted Jesus as their Savior, they're saved, but they still listen to the wrong music and they need to repent about their music. You're supposed to repent about everything. Do you know what? When you read the Bible, when you spend time in the morning, it's like, oh my goodness, wow, God showed me this. I thought this, but my mind was all dorked up. I've been programmed by the world and TV and Hollywood. That's not right. I'm supposed to think this way. Oh, and you do what? Repent. We're supposed to repent every time we read the Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And we let the Bible change our mind and where we're renewed in our mind. Repentance isn't just something you do at salvation. It's something you do your whole Christian life. And if it means change your mind, you have a definition that will match all the way through your Bible. If you put anything more on it than that, you're going to get confused. It won't make sense. It'll work sometimes and it won't work other places. I hope tonight helps you in that, and it'll help a soul winner. It'll help a soul winner. Let's keep it free. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it childlike. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight. Lord, in looking at studying our Bible, please, I pray that, Lord, you could use this in each person's life. And thank you for your word. Help us to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Please. In Jesus' name, amen.